What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Kick back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
Peace, peace, check one, two, peace and love, everybody. David Goldemond Hicks here. Welcome back to another episode of the Rec Show Podcast. Yo, last week we had an amazing joint, man. Amazing conversation filled with jewels from Kristen Israel, man. Go ahead and check that out, man. It was, yo, it was some crazy jewels in there. And then go to the weeks before that as well, man, to Sean. One of my, you know, my military members still creating beats, a dope beat maker as well. And then you also, you got Algorithmic C, who was also a guest on the show, man. So go ahead, tap into the archives and all that type of stuff. I appreciate your support. I appreciate you tapping into the frequency. And today, yo, we got a, you know, one of my senseis. If you don't know, he gonna know now. I'm about to geek out on him, yo. He's one of my senseis from... like 8 years ago, before I even started thinking about making beats. I seen him on his YouTube channel, just showing amazing techniques and breaking it down in a simple, understandable way to where it wasn't going over my head. He's also the creator of New Song Productions. His name, Justified from the Still Life Teachings. If you didn't get it by now, you already know who it is. It is the one and only Jay Phil from HowToMakeVerySickBeats.com. Welcome to the show, Jay Phil. How you feeling, man?
Peace, man. Hey, I appreciate that introduction. That was crazy.
Yo, man, listen, I try to get, the best. I'm trying to be like Sway in the morning, you know what I mean? You know how you do his intro.
I feel it, I feel the love, man.
Yo, absolutely, man. Yo, so I only gave a little bit of the intro, man, but for the B-heads that might, and the mutants that don't know who you are and don't know what you're about, can you go ahead and just break down, you know, who you are, you know, I already said what your name means, you know, how you even came up with the J Phil and the, you know, all the letters and stuff like that, and any affiliations that you might be a part of as well.
All right, cool. So basically, man, I'm just a dude who loves making music and I love sharing what I know. I mean, it's very simple, man. I've been teaching, man, I guess for over a decade now, man, on YouTube, and you know, I make music, I talk about music, I live music, it's what I do, it's what I love. As far as, like you said, J Field is just an acronym, Justified from Instilled Life Teachings, and that just basically is an idea, it's just a premise of how I came up, you know what I'm saying? It's just me saying that the way I am is a direct product of how I was brought up. You know, so it's just, and anybody can basically say the same thing. You know what I'm saying? You are basically your surroundings. And, you know, that kind of, you know, it molded me to be the person that I am. So, you know, I grew up with both parents. My mama was a musician. I grew up in the church. And, you know, it's just, you know, how I grew up. The positive energy, all that is just how I grew up, man. Just seeing positive people impact my life, man. So that's basically it in a nutshell.
Yo, why is it that a good portion of my guests, man, they grew up in the church, man, and now they doing beats, and you know what I'm saying? It's like, what is it about church that's like, that brings out that? I guess it's the musicality, man, because you know, you do it all day. You know,
it's history, man. I mean, if you think about it, like a lot of the R&B singers, they all came out in church, and a lot of the musicians or even beat makers, producers, they might have played drums in the church or whatever, or just watched people. And basically, to me, church is school. It's school. Mm. it's where you get your education, man. Musically, that's how I was able to train my ear, was through church and listening to my mom. I was fortunate to grow up with a piano in the house. So I just listened to her play, and that just you know, just brought out something in me to like want to get involved in music.
I keep telling everybody, like, just it's how you're growing up and what you're being exposed to at a young age, man, kind of shapes the way you become an adult and, you know, kind of what you do in life as well at a young age. So any beat maker that's got, you know, kids and stuff like that, just let them come in and mess around on the pads and the keys and all that type of stuff, man. You just never know. They could be the next Timberland or right. Jay Phil. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Okay, here's a question, man. Because you said you grew up in the church. Mm-hmm. I did too as well. And then, like, growing up in the church, and I don't know how many years you've been going to church, but it's a lot of years that you spend a lot of days and some nights in church as well, man. So how did you even get into you know, making beats and sampling and composing beats as well?
Well, for me, it's kind of funny, man, because even though I grew up in church, and I still go to this day, I'm actually a musician. A lot of cats don't know I play keys to this day. I play the organ as well. So I play, you know, on Sunday mornings, and I've been doing that for years, like at least I'm about to feel real old right now, man. But like since the early 2000s, man, and really earlier than that, back in the 90s, man. So it's like I've been doing that for a long time. But as far as like how I got into making beats, I guess it all started with like my very first keyboard. You know, as a kid, my mom had got me one of them. It's not, it wasn't even a Casio, man. It was like one of them off brand that I can't even remember. It was like, it only had like maybe about, I don't know, about 24 keys or something like that, real mini keys. And I know I used to always pay attention to the patterns, and that intrigued me. At a very young age, I had no idea about beats or nothing. I just knew what I liked. And I remember this one pattern, and they still have it to this day. You know, a lot of the keyboards that you buy now, like the Casios and Yamahas, like the beginner stages ones, they have those different types of rhythms. And my favorite rhythm was Bossa Nova. You know what I'm saying? Because it was different. And I was like, yeah, I like that. So I would just toy around with keyboards. And then when I got older, I would get, you know, better keyboards. And I remember I got my first Casio. And then I started learning how to sequence beats. And wow, that was just, you know, this is before sampling. I didn't know nothing about sampling. I was just all strictly keyboards, just sequencing on workstations and stuff for years before I even started sampling. Like, you know, that was like my training was on the keyboard.
Wow. Yeah. I think I remember you saying one time on a video I saw, man, because you got like over 1,000 plus videos on YouTube. I think I remember you saying your grandmom like help teach you piano or something like that. Like,
but she didn't help me, but she also had a piano, and she was one of those late learners. So I didn't really learn from her. I learned more from my mom, and she was just like my grandmother. She's my heart rest her soul. She passed away some years back, but she you know, she had a love for music, and she had a lot of records as well.
Yeah, man. Yo, shout out to your grandma, man. Shout out to your mom and dad for even putting you and exposing you to that environment, to where you can create and just play around with keyboards. And, you know, I'm pretty sure you messing around with other instruments and stuff like that. Like, what was it about the piano that it drew you to it?
I just love the sound of it, man. I love how easy it was for me to pick it up. You know, I just press it with my fingers and sound would come out. So it's like, okay, cool. And but see, I also played the trumpet. That was like my very first
another trumpeter. Yeah.
So, you know, back in fourth grade, you know, that was my instrument, and I still have it to this day. Can I play it? No, I'm no good on it anymore. My lips can't take it. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it took a lot of effort for me to play the trumpet, but it's no effort at all for me to play the keyboard, because it's just something that fits me very easily. But, you know, I'm messing around with the bass guitar, and a couple of years back, I started playing the ukulele, and I also have an electric guitar. So I'll play around with other instruments and, you know, dabble and stuff. So.
Wow, amazing, man. It's just trying different things, man. I noticed in your videos, and you're always trying different instruments, different technologies,
yes,
stuff like that, man. Like like for my mutants that are out there, when I say mutants, I mean my beat makers that's, you know, creating different worlds for themselves and others. Like, what is it about trying different things that helps your creativity?
It forces me to never be stagnant. I'm always learning, because if you stick with one thing, it's like you can, you know, kind of not get bored, but you can get to a state where you're like, okay, what else? I mean, am I stuck here? Did I reach my plateau? And I never want to get to that position. So I'm always learning. I consider myself a student more so than a teacher. So I'm always trying to educate myself.
Yo, the sensei.
I feel like if you feel, it's, you know, it's like basically if you feel like you've done it all, then that's the biggest mistake that you can have, because you're playing yourself.
Congratulations.
You know, this world is too big, man, for us to think that we know it all. So I'm always acting as if I don't know anything. period. So I would just go, and that just makes me better. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. Yeah. Like the universe is always expanding, right? So why wouldn't we want to expand and get, you know, better, more information so we can use it, you know, to build, not, you know, not destroy, you know, all that type of stuff. But yeah, exactly. Man, I absolutely I understand what you mean, man. Like, I'm going back in your history right now. So as a kid and, you know, as a teenager, like, who were you around as you were, like, just taking in all of these sounds and information and instruments and stuff like that? Who were you riding around with? Like, what were they playing that kind of influenced you to this day?
That's a good question. Let me go back. My brain. So basically, before I even get to like who I was hanging around with, I remember my very, very, very first record that I ever purchased. It was by Run DMC. And it was on vinyl, and it was the first thing I ever bought with my own money. And I was just a kid, man, and it's tricky. And so I used to always rock with that, man, because I was proud that I purchased it, and then I loved the beat. And as a kid, and again, I didn't know about drums and making beats and none of that. I just enjoyed the music. So as I got older, let's fast forward to about, I guess, middle school, high school. There was a show called Yo MTV Raps. And I was loving those videos. And then I remember, you know, just driving, going, you know, hanging out with my friends and going to parties or whatnot. And if I wasn't driving, one of my homies was riding, you know, and we would have like Tribe Called Quest riding in the car, and, you know, Wu-Tang, Dr. Dre, Nas, all that stuff. And so I was rocking with all that stuff, man. So that's what really, really got me influenced, because I was digging all those beats. Like, man, I really wasn't thinking about who made the beats at that point, but I just knew that I liked the beats. I liked the music more so than the lyrics. I always paid attention to the beats. So.
Yo, man, like, it's that when you pay for it yourself, man, that's like a stamp in your memory. Like, you just, It's so amazing, man. Like, just remembering picking up the cassette, picking up the CD, the vinyl record. And you're like, oh my God, I'm about to buy this with my own money. Can't nobody tell me nothing. Like, right. Like, it's so exciting. I wish the kids now could do that as well, man. I mean, we still got vinyl cassettes happening, you know, on Bandcamp and, you know, on people's websites and stuff like that, but not like it was, where you can go into a Sam Ash or a Sam Goody or something like that and just go touch the music. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, they still have like if you go to Barnes and Nobles, they have a record section, believe it or not.
Oh,
and even Walmart, you know, you can go to Walmart, and depending on what kind of Walmart you have, I don't know, all of them aren't the same, but where I live, the Walmart has like a record section, and you can actually go through vinyl.
See, that's a jewel. That's a jewel right there, everybody. Yo, that you can go to check out Walmart, Barnes and Nobles. I check out Barnes and Nobles here in San Antonio, Texas. But they always have like a lot of Beatles. They always have like a lot of soundtracks. So they don't, the hip hop section does not exist in Barnes and Nobles in San Antonio, Texas.
But, okay, you just need a different location. That's all.
Yeah, basically. So I'll have to drive to like Austin to, you know what I mean, to go get the vinyls and stuff like that. Or I stay with my Connect Fat Beats. I always shop with Fat Beats or somebody's personal website, stuff like that, man. But yeah, man, like that touching the music, man, it's like it's a goosebumpy moment. And then when you drop the needle on it, or you pop the cassette in your car or on the radio, man, it's
right,
man. I miss those feelings, man. I miss that.
Yeah, none like it.
So okay, here's another question I have, man. If If you're able to, like, can you remember the decision that you made when you said, you know what, I did all my like whack beats. All right, those, nobody's ever going to hear those beats. Now I'm at a place where I'm good. Like, I'm good. I'm continue to get better, but I want people to hear my music. Do you remember what that was like when you were ready for the world to hear your music?
I guess that was around, I would have to say high school, because I was making my own beat tapes on cassette tape then. You know, so I would let my friends hear what I did. And if we were driving somewhere, instead of, you know, we would go like maybe on a road trip somewhere, I don't know. Instead of listening to the radio, I would bring my cassette tape and let's pop this in and just listen to my beats. Now, and that was on a very, very, very small level, because it wasn't like I was trying to shop my my tapes to everyone that I met on the street. You know, it was just for my friends. It's like, yes, listen to this and just watch to this. So, you know, just feeling comfortable with that made me feel like, okay, yeah, I guess I'm decent, because they're not saying take this out. You know what I'm saying? And then when MySpace came around, yeah, I was like, okay, let's upload some music to MySpace, for those who remember MySpace. It was so long ago now, but yeah, I was doing that with MySpace as well.
Amazing, man. Yo, a lot of people, a few of my guests have said, you know, MySpace is like they wish they still had MySpace, because in MySpace you can code, you can include your music. So when somebody came to your page, like, they'll hear your music that you put on there, you know, all that type of stuff. Man, those were good. I don't think we understand. Like, that were amazing times in technology, man. For music people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I kind of feel for people who don't know what the world is like before Facebook or YouTube. It's crazy when you think about it. Like, we've lived in a lifetime where it, before social media, well, I have. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but like,
I have to. Yeah.
There's, you know, it's amazing, because a lot of people don't know what their life is about, and they will never know. But we have the chance to experience it, and it makes us appreciate the technology that we have today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're definitely one of the lucky ones, but I'm 42, man. So okay. I'm like, I think we're at the point where, okay, we were still alive, kicking, moving around without, you know, cell phones and all YouTube and all that stuff. But then right when everything came online, YouTube, MySpace, and all that type of stuff, and SoundCloud, like, we were right there still learning with everybody else and stuff like that. So, yo, like, we were right in the middle of everything, man. Like,
I'm telling you, the Gen Xers, that's what we are. It's like we experienced the most out of any other generation. It's incredible, man, if you think about it.
Wow.
It's crazy.
And it's only getting crazier with this AI and
You remember, like, before smartphones, like, beepers, and people don't even know what that stuff is. Like, beeper? What is a beeper? What is this little box? Like, you know, I still have some of my very, very, very old, they call them dumb phones now, dumb phones, and I think they're trying to bring them back, where, you know, you had, like, the flip phone, even before the flip phone, you just had a regular phone. And it had the buttons, no touchscreen, none of that stuff. And like, kids nowadays, they have no clue. Like, what is this? Mm-hmm. I saw a TikTok, and these kids were tested, and the test was to see if you could figure out how to use a rotary dial phone. They couldn't do it. I'm like, what? They couldn't figure out how to use a rotary because they never seen it. They never use it, but we've lived through that.
Oh my gosh.
And it's crazy. You remember you had to, you know, put your finger and rotate
all,
the dial and
all the way.
You had to start all over if you messed it up. It's crazy, man. Y'all know nothing about Star 69, and it's crazy, man.
Yeah, the rotary. I just go back to my grandmom's house, man. She always had the rotary. So if you want that, you got to bring your finger all the way down, all the way around.
That's right.
Let it go back, dig another number, come all the way around, let it go. Those are crazy times, man. Crazy times, man. I appreciate the ease of use of technology, man. And that's one thing that I see you do all the time is you take different technologies, man, you break it down, figure out what the rules are, and then you go ahead and like break the rules, you know what I'm saying? Like, and help us understand these technologies. Like, where did that come from to where you want to teach, you know, how many people, man, like how many people how to do certain things, how to chop, how to sample, how to use this technology for this and all that type of stuff.
I think it's in the DNA. There's a lot of teachers in my family, seriously, like starting with my mom. She was a teacher in the public school system and growing up in Cleveland. So Cleveland, Ohio. And then I have like cousins that are teachers and my own brother is a teacher. So I guess it's just in the DNA, man. Just teaching is in my blood, man, you know. So I get joy out of sharing knowledge that I know, and then, you know, because someone might not know, and if I have the power to share that knowledge, then it's just I think it's a win-win.
That is a win-win, man. That's that's teaching, man. Teaching is I think is one of the underrated skills, man, that we should be appreciating a lot more. Like, besides being an influencer and whatever that is and all that type of stuff, like actually giving teaching instruction, like just breaking down concepts and making it simple for other people, man, like that should be a $1 million industry. But for some strange reason, it's,
it should be
for real. Like,
if only that were true.
Yo, man, so I gotta ask you this question, man, and if you're able to,
okay,
can you name that one, like, it might be a couple beats that you heard that just messed your head up and you were like, yo, what is this? Who made this? This is the craziest beat I ever heard, yo. And there's no genre with this either, yo. So it could be any genre.
Okay. I would have to say one beat that I can always go back to and never get tired of, man, is Stakes Is High. Mm. Stakes Is High. Jay Dilla. I mean, that beat, it's just something about that beat that speaks to me. Not only the beat itself, but the whole overall song, man. De La Soul, shout out to De La Soul. True Goy, rest in peace.
Rest in peace,
But that song right there, and I'm going to tell you a couple of reasons why I feel that way. It's because, first of all, the sample is by my favorite jazz artist of all time. Not just jazz artist, but my favorite all-time artist is Ahmad Jamal. And, it's a piano, it's a loop that he play, and the song is called Swahili Land. And so I always love that song. And so the way Dilla flipped it, I'm like, man. And again, at that point, I didn't know about sampling. I didn't really know about sampling. I just knew I liked what I liked. I was like, man, why do I love it? And then so years go by, I started asking myself, why do I love this beat so much, man? And then I started, like, when I started studying a lot of techniques and different concepts, I started realizing, like, that beat right there is so hypnotic. If you think about it, it's a 3-bar loop. Most beats are in 4 or 8 bars, you know, nice and even. You know what I'm saying? Maybe 16. It's a 3-bar loop. So that's what gives it that hypnotic feel, man. And the way they rapped over it is just phenomenal, man. So,
man, on Twitter, I was like, yo, I'm trying out this 3-bar loop thing, man. Because there's some samples I got from the Flip a Beat Club challenge. And I'm like, there's certain things. I'm like trying to get a 4-bar loop. Nah, that's not working. 5-bar loop up. That's not working. Let me try this 3-bar. That 3-bar works, but it don't for, like, if I'm trying to do the drums and stuff like that. So it's, yo, man, I think I might've covered that on the J Dilla episode, man, that I did last month, where I was just talking about different techniques that he did as well, man. And working with different people. Yo, he was definitely ahead of his time, man. Like,
yeah, for sure.
And then for you to do the videos that you do every year, honoring J Dilla, was he like definitely influential in how you come up with different beats and stuff like that too?
Oh, for sure, man. Between him, like, I always have three, like, my top three beat making influences when people ask me, and I would say Q-Tip, RZA, and Dilla. No specific order, but those three are like my top three influences. So my approach to music is like kind of channeling myself through how they would make beats, and then just put my own spin to it.
Mm. Mm. So at the same time, you like, all right, this is how they would approach the beat, but then this is me. I'm putting my spin on it. So you're not just like copying them, you know, bar for bar, loop for loop, all that type of stuff.
Oh, like, no. And I talk about that a lot. It's like, we're not trying to, when I do like the inspired by videos, I tend to, you know, I always, because there's always somebody that they're taking it and getting it, they're taking it the wrong way, or they got it twisted. I'm not trying to create clones. We're not trying to clone anyone. There's simple techniques and guidelines for you to use and flip your own way. It's like, I'm giving you some sentences. I'm giving you some words, and you going to create your own sentence. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I can show you the words, and then I can show you verbs and nouns and and all that good stuff, but you make your own sentence.
Mm.
You create your own paragraph, you know.
It's always somebody that might not take it the way that you intended, but you know, it is what it is. You know? I mean, you always got somebody that's gonna fight what you're saying, but
I'm used to it. I'm used to it. I've learned to just move on. You know, you cannot, I learned years ago, you cannot please everybody, and I'm fine with that.
Right, man. Yo, man, like, stakes is high. Yo, first of all, everybody, if y'all didn't know, man, the De La Soul discography is on DSPs right now, man. So if y'all have never tapped into De La Soul's discography, especially when they were giving their albums away a couple years ago. It was like a few years ago. I remember that, and I was on it. I was like, yo, I'll take them. Yes, give them to me. I got them on a hard drive somewhere around the house. But, yo, check out De La Soul. Check out the influences that that shaped, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, I want to say, is when they came out, man. Like, and they were just killing the game. So, even when they came out with their latest album, man, it's with a crowd, and there's a cartoon guy that's in the middle, like, oh man, what's the name of that album? I don't know. It came out like maybe 5-6 years ago or something like that, but that was a dope album too. But okay, getting to my next questions. I know you got things to do, man. I got a lot of mutants, a lot of beat makers music producers, composers on this journey, man, and this music journey. What would be some things that Jay Phil would recommend they watch, they read, or they listen to as they're on this journey to help them?
Watch, read, or listen to? Well, watch. Go ahead, watch Jay Phil on YouTube if you want to.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
Go ahead. I mean, shameless plug. I mean, a lot of people look at me for a reason, I guess, you know. But, you know, no, all jokes aside, YouTube, man, type in. If there's a certain genre or a producer that you like, just do a search on YouTube, man. It's there. There's tons of videos, man. I wish YouTube was around when I first started. Seriously. I think I would be further along than I am now. But, you know, so as far as that, what to watch, same thing. Okay, so what to listen to, you can go on to, I guess, just whatever is your favorite thing to listen to as far as music goes. If you have a certain artist, start paying attention to what they're doing. Find out what it is that you like about it, and then go through entire discographies. Go to audiobooks. A lot of people don't know this, but a lot of artists, you know, write books. Like, for example, Quincy Jones, which is one of my favorite all-time producers, you know, like coming up when I was real young, you know, and not even realizing that, but I just love Quincy Jones. And when he came out with an autobiography, and I got it. And you get into the mindset of these people, just like Dilla. I know everybody know by now about Dilla Time, you know, even though he didn't write it, but it's a biography about his life and not just about his music, but outside of music too, like how he came up and all that stuff. So, but I'm gonna tell you another book that's really dope. It's called Steal This Sound. It's by Mitchell Sigman. Steal This Sound. And basically what that is, it's a book showing you how to get like all the classic vintage sounds. And if for you sound designers out there that want to create your own sound, this book is a cheat code. I'm letting you know, it's like a secret sauce. You get this book. I think it should be on Amazon. Steal This Sound by Mitchell Sigman. And it has like, you just name like Stevie Wonder sounds. If you love Herbie Hancock, the synths that he was using, they have like the settings. Even if you don't have the vintage keyboards, you know, you have nowadays, you can, you know, use VSTs, right? And they give you those settings that they were using so you can emulate the same sound.
That's crazy.
I'm telling you, that's crazy. What? I'm telling you, man, that's the you talk about a gem, that's the sauce right there. Steal This Sound.
Yo, I got it, as soon as I get done, man. I always put all of this, you know, what my guest recommends in the description of the show anyway, so don't worry, internets, man, go ahead, scroll down to the bottom, man, where, and look at the information. All you got to do is tap on the link, boom, and they take you right to what Jay Field is recommending, man. But yo, that's a Steal This Sound, man. I can't forget that. So I'm gonna go right to it, man. And then yo, like, you, we have a plethora of instruments, VSTs out right now, man. Like, I ain't gonna talk about the waves thing because you already did that, Jay Phil. they're trying to do a subscription.
That's a whole other day right there. Yeah, man.
Oh my gosh. But okay, yo. I got it, and you know, you make beat making like super fun, right? Like in your, I want to say your beat room, man. That's what I'll call you. Like you have a spaceship in there, full of, yeah, like different toys and, you know, instruments and keyboards and beat machines and stuff like that. Like, and you name them as well, man. You make it personal for each and every single one of your instruments that you use for your beats, man. Like, why? First of all, what, first question is, why name your instruments? And secondly is, why? Which one is like the brains of the operations inside the spaceship?
The brains of the operation. Well, the brains of, I'm going to say this, the brains of the operation is definitely the computer, because everything is going to go inside the computer at one point. Okay. So without the computer, that's the most important piece of my lab. No computer, I'm not doing none of this. So, but as far as like hardware, I would say between the MPC 2000 XL and then at the moment, my SP 404 Mark II.
Mm.
Those are the two main, I guess you could say, motherboards. But as far as me naming them, why I named them is because I believe I got the idea from a musician who he was a bass player, right? And he passed away years ago too. So rest in peace to him, man. He used to name his basses, phenomenal bass player, and I just thought that was cool. I mean, and what's funny is he had like four or five basses, and he named them all after his ex-girlfriends. So I just thought that was cool. So, but it was personal to him. And so I was thinking, you know, with my drum machines, they're personal to me. And I think they all have their own personality. I said, no, I'll just name them. And it started with Mingus, which is my MPC 2000 XL, Mingus. And it of course, it's not girlfriends or nothing, but I name them after actual influences. So Mingus is referring to Charles Mingus, the bass player, the jazz legend. So, and actually, people don't really notice, but my MPC 2000's full name, it ain't just Mingus, it's just his first name. It's Mingus Peterson Coltrane, MPC for short.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, all those, you know, Peterson, Oscar Peterson, the jazz pianist, and then John Coltrane, the jazz saxophonist. So, MPC, Mingus Peterson Coltrane. So, that's his name. And I'm not going to go through all the names, but, you know, that's why I named them, basically. I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, it did. Oh, man. Yo, that's like, that's dope as heck, man. Like, because I remember you saying, like, yo, name your instruments. It makes it personal, it makes it more fun as well. When you I think it was in the video a couple years ago when you said it. Yeah, man, I just always thought that was dope, to where just name the instrument. You will write it on the side of the MPC. I think it's on the side of your MPC, right?
Yeah.
And
I have it on the side and on the front.
And on the front, yeah. And then you know you got the MPC, the SP-404 Mark II. So what's mm-hmm. that? What's that instrument's name?
That's Spark Plug. I haven't written his name yet. But, and then my 303 is Suplex, and then my 404 is Supreme, and then my 202 is Scrapper. And I talk about all of this on my YouTube channel. I know I got problems.
I love it, man. I'm a music nerd. I'm a geek, man. So I love talking about this type of stuff. It's just, it's fun, man. It's something that you enjoy. Why not talk about it, you know? So, okay, here's my next question. You have like a crazy amount of music that's out right now. Starting in like 2010 on your Bandcamp, and then working your way up till present day. But I just wanted to highlight a couple albums. One of them being Weekly Practice. I think that's volume 4, Nodville 3, and then P.O.
Oh, man.
So, man. So I'm digging, man. So these are the albums that I always listen to on my Bandcamp. Like when I'm at work, like I'm always out on my Twitter, I'll ask for different albums, listen to instrumental albums, B tapes and stuff like that. But these are the ones I always go back to. Like these are amazing beat tapes, instrumental albums as well, man. Like, what were you going, like, I don't say what were you going through, but how did these albums come to be? I know Weekly Practice is dedicated to your weekly samples that you weekly chop samples that you have over at Patreon, correct?
Right. So that's easy. That, you know, basically those are just basically samples from the Weekly Practice Kids. For those that don't know, I do a weekly thing where I just take samples from vinyl and I chop them up into folders, and then I just supply them for those who support me on patreon.com. and so out of that, every week, you know, I'm just making beats and all that stuff is collecting. I still have way more volumes to do, but you know, it's just me picking out my favorite beats that I've made through those Weekly Practice Kits and then put them into a project. So not much thought into that. I'm just picking my favorite ones.
Amazing. And then Nodville came out a couple years ago, but that one, Nodville 3, that one still sticks with me, man. It's so good. You know, like, I think in it, it's like 12 tracks. You might have named them like just the names. First name is like, first track is Soul-tastic, Pimp Walk, Slappy Drummer, like that, and that's a series as well, man. Yeah, can you talk right about the Nodville series?
Okay, so the Nodville series is basically, the premise is every beat, my intention was to make the listener's head nod. I wasn't satisfied. I wouldn't be satisfied if your head wasn't nodding when you listen to any track on those Nodville albums. So that was the intention. So I tried real hard to just really just, and really not just for Nodville, but all my beats. I want your head to nod, but specifically for that, the idea was to make people's head nod, man. So so that Nodville 3, that's just the third installment, and I will be doing a Nodville 4 hopefully pretty soon. But yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that, Ben. It's just like a combination of beats that I've had. Some I've had just stashed in the hard drive and just bringing them out. And like some newer ones like Fried Kale, you know. just experimenting with different sounds, man, and just trying to make people's head nod. That's pretty much it.
That instant, like, you know, you want your head to nod like that. What do they call that? It's like an emotional reaction when the music is playing, like tapping the foot, head nodding, something right like that. Finger right moving. Oh, man. So, and then P.O., man. So I remember this album coming out when the P.O. first came out from Teenage Engineering, right? So
Yes.
And then you did, like, this album came out in 2018, but this album is another one I'll always go back to as well. Wow. So what, tell me about this P.O. album, because a lot of people getting P.O.s right now too.
Okay, so, well, let me just start with the history. First of all, shout out to Teenage Engineering. They had sent me a few of their pocket operators because they noticed me on YouTube. And I had bought one myself. So I knew they were already on my radar. So when they sent me some, I was like, cool, okay, bet. I wanted to challenge myself and make a full album using nothing but the pocket operator. So that's what P.O. was about. All the beats were made on a pocket operator, and then I just threw them in the Pro Tools, and then that was it. That was it.
Yo, man, this joint is crazy, man. Like, so you there's another guy, Ricky, who has another album he did with the pocket operator. There's another guy from Canada, Baker's Clubs, Raz Fresco, man, who does albums on a pocket operator as well. Like, what is it about the pocket operator that makes it to where you can just create music on this? It looks like a calculator.
Exactly. It looks like a little calculator. And I think what's so intriguing about it is the simplicity of it and lack of features. Like, I mean, it has a lot of features, but it also has a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it forces you to use your imagination. Matter of fact, I have a beat on that project called Just Imagine. So it's like it really forces your creative juices to just really go outside the box. That's what I appreciate. Limitations, that's the word. I like things that have limitations because it forces you to just, it pushes your own creativity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's some real cool things you can do with it, man. A lot of people are asleep on it, in my opinion.
To get one, man. I'm gonna wait for a little bit though, because I'm still trying to master this machine and this SP-404 Mark II. So,
and I commend you for doing that, because a lot of us will go to the next thing without even mastering one thing, and we just, you know, we have what's called gas, you know, gear acquisition syndrome. And we want to get everything. We just want to, you know, especially like when the holidays come, everyone, you know, they're putting out new content, and you want to see the next thing, you want to get the next thing. And that's why you'd be surprised how many people ask me about the MPC when the keyboard came out, the MPC keys. Mm-hmm. Man, so many people ask me, so when you gonna get yours, or how come you don't have an MPC Live or MPC X? And my answer is always the same. It's because I'm still using the 2000 XL. You know? And I mean, I have a lot of different drum machines, and all of them do different things. So I don't really have the need to get something that I really don't see the purpose for if all my needs are being met right now. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Because I also use, you know, I also use software. So a lot of stuff that I can do inside my software. So I don't really need all that other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, paying like, you know, $1,000 for a different piece of gear, you know, stuff like right. that, when you already can do it inside of either what you already have. And just, it's just using your resources properly.
Right. And I want to say this, because a lot of people don't really realize this, because I get this question all the time. What should I get? What should be my first thing? Especially for those that's just starting. If you have a computer, you are good. If you just start with some software, I recommend that. That be your first thing. Just, you know, if you have a Mac computer, start with GarageBand. If you have a PC, you can start with BandLab. That's free. And just start making beats, or try to learn how to make beats on software first. And then when you feel like you really want to move on to the next level, or you want to get hardware, yeah, you can go that route. But all you really, really need is a computer. Really, like, if you got your phone, Koala Sampler, there you go. I'm a true witness. Koala Sampler is the truth. Shout out to Merrick, the developer. Elf Audio, all those guys, man. So yeah, man, you don't really need all this good, like all the stuff that I have now. I don't need all that stuff. I just have it because I've been collecting for years, and then I make content based off that stuff. But all you really, really, really need is a computer.
Yo, man, you are one of the ones when I first started. What was this, 2014, 2015, somewhere around there, where you were like, yo, just use what you have. So I started making beats in GarageBand. Terrible beats, by the way. But I was learning, you know, how to structure beats and stuff like that. And even today, on your videos, I think you're making beats in either Logic or GarageBand. I can't remember
It was GarageBand, but now it's Logic. So Logic is just GarageBand on steroids.
That's it. Right? So yeah, I mean, you're still taking, you know, you figuring out MIDI, manipulating the audio, and then incorporating everything into the software. So
yes,
every internets, man, y'all heard Jay Field, man, just use what you have. If you got a computer, use what you have inside the computer. Try and get as close to mastery as possible with that, and then move on to the next thing, man. So so you're not like spending $5,000 on equipment that, I mean, right now you don't need. Like you said, Elf Audio, Koala Sampler is a $4 app. If you get all of the, you know, the little bells and whistles, it may be $10 app. And then at the most, and then all you need is all you would need is like maybe a MIDI keyboard. That's about it. Mm-hmm. Man, amazing, yo. So really,
and that's not even required, because I've done videos just using my laptop keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing notes, playing pads, you know, drum sounds with ASDFGHJIKL. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so yeah, there's no excuse.
No excuse, everybody. So, okay, you are now I gotta adjust this question, man. So you are a beat maker, a student, a teacher. People can tap into your frequency on twitch.tv/verysickbeats. But you first started on YouTube in what, December 2009? So man, that is a lot of content to put out on YouTube, man. Almost 10 million views on all of your videos and stuff like that. What has this journey been like as a content creator, starting with YouTube, moving over to live streaming with Twitch? Like, what's that experience been like?
Man, it's been a journey, man, and it still is. It's been a learning experience, and to this day, it's still a learning experience. You go through trials where you're trying to figure out stuff. When I first started, I remember I just used to go through my laptop. This is before I even had a camera. I didn't have a digital camera, so I would just use the webcam that came with the laptop. And so, you know, just growing and just learning, just trying to get better. And, you know, it starts with just having fun. All I wanted to do was just share what I could do. I wasn't even really thinking about teaching how to make beats at that point. I was just sharing. And basically, it came out of people asking me questions. That's how it flourished. So I was answering questions. And as those questions came, I would make videos based off the questions and just try to answer it. So that came, that was the beginnings of my journey on YouTube. So fast forward, I ended up getting on Twitch because I wanted to do a live thing where, you know, people could see my process in real time. You know what I'm saying? Because people would ask me like, okay, so how do you do this? Well, why don't you see me do it?
Mm-hmm.
That should answer the question. So that's why I did that. So, and I'm still learning to this day, man. I think I've been on there for a couple of years now. So it's fun, man.
Yeah, man. Like, you definitely are you are a trusted source of instruction and then inspiration as well to this growing beat community, man. I don't know if you know that, but I'm telling you that right now. Like, whenever I ask my guests, everybody knows who you are. Everybody has seen your videos in some shape or form. Like, when I'm out of like inspiration, you're definitely one of the channels I go to where I'm just, let me just look at this instructional video about maybe one of the videos you did with like Knowledge or Alchemist or one of the J Dilla joints or Madlib. Like, I'll just look at that and be like, all right, I got some juice now. Let me go ahead and see what I can do with different making a beat and stuff like that. But thank you for what you do, day in and day out. I know it's tiring. Sometimes it can be thankless. But, yo, we appreciate you, man.
And I appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, man. Yo, so last few questions before I let you go, man. I know you've been in this hip-hop thing for some years, just like I have. You know, pillars of hip-hop, you know, DJing, MCing, breaking, graphing, beatboxing. Like, which element did you start your journey with?
For me, I want to say graffiti, because I remember I used to draw a lot. And this is a true story. I used to want to be an architect, and I used to take graphic design courses or classes in high school. And I remember at one point I wanted to start my own business and design t-shirts of me just doing sayings with graffiti letters. And then I remember I had the little spray bottle, and not the you know, the little spray utensil.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah.
So I would do that, and I had like a canvas and everything. So I would say that was the beginning for me. But it took my dad to say, what do you want to do? Because he realized that started taking a back seat because I was being more involved with music. So shout out to my pops, because, you know, if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't even be doing YouTube and doing music like that, because he made me realize, like, you spend most of your time doing music instead of art. So, and I still, to this day, I still try to, you know, do like art covers, not drawing them, but some type of way, just using art in some type of way, even if I have to pay somebody else to do it, you know what I'm saying? But I would say graffiti, and then, believe it or not, breakdancing. I used to, me and my brother used to break dance, you know, at family parties and stuff. And then the music. So yeah, that was it for me.
Wow. Wow, yeah, the spray can. That's what you were talking about. The spray can.
Yeah, yeah. The spray can.
Having a spray can, man. Your pops made you like, yo, you got pick one. He's probably like,
yeah.
Pick one. And then you just basically pick the music.
Basically, yeah. Man. He realized what I was, you know, most of my time was being spent on music and not art. And so I didn't want to waste my time. So I was like, yeah, you're right. So I just went the music route.
Thank you, Pops. Thank you, Pops, for like guiding him on this path right now, man. Because, you know, we might not have Jay Philp, the student teacher, beat maker extraordinaire. Like, we might not have that. We might have the graphic artist, engineer Jay Phil. I mean, either way, you can still go back to it if you want to, either way. But yo, thank you, man. So yo, I gotta ask this question. I gotta geek out for a couple questions, man. You know, on your channel, you know, you had some heavy hitters drop by your channel for, you know, a Rhythm Roulette-esque episodes with some amazing creatives like Twami, Stolen Drums, DiBiase, like
the homies.
You know what I mean? The homies. Are you bringing that back?
That's a great question. I would like to. There's a couple of more that I've been wanting to collab and do some videos with. And I will name one, but hopefully the next time he comes to Atlanta, because we, at the same time that I hooked up with DiBiase, it was a shout out to Iman Omari, who just dropped a new project. Crazy. I was gonna do one with him. I don't know, man. I guess whenever I can get with these guys, man. I know everyone has busy schedules, so we'll see, man. We'll see. Shout out to Controllerize.
Yeah, shout out to Cole. That was going to be my next question too, man. I know you rock with Controllerize. You know, Controllerize, for everybody that don't know, for the internet that don't know, is a group of amazing talents, whether it be beatmakers, DJs, MCs, If I'm forgetting something, J. Phil, help me out. But they put together this showcase inside of this like arcade type of bar scene to where people can come sell things. You can play video games, watch anime, listen to live music being played and stuff like that inside Atlanta, Georgia. So it's a no trap zone, if I can say that as well. Yeah.
Shout out to We Do Beats.
Yeah, shout out. I got my We Do Beats sweatshirt on right now, bro.
What's up?
So I gotta ask you this, man. Like, you know, outside of Controllerize, like, what is the beat scene like where you are and in your area? And then who should we be on the lookout for, you know, as far as beat makers go or artists?
To be honest with you, I've really been out of the loop. but I do know that if you are in Atlanta, you definitely want to check out East Atlanta Village. Definitely. That's the spot to be. East Atlanta Village, because they, you know, there's a lot of showcases, whether it's artists coming in, doing performances or beat making. So East Atlanta Village, I'm trying to think of, my mind is at a standstill right now, but that's the spot, East Atlanta Village. Or Little Five Points.
All in Atlanta, Georgia?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
All right. Hey, everybody that's in the is that the South? Is Atlanta the South? I don't want to say Atlanta's the South. But it kind of is.
Yeah, it is. It is the South. South Georgia, yes. Yeah, that's considered the South. You know, T.I., Outkast, that's considered the South. Remember when they came out? The South got something to say.
Yeah. Well, Outkast came in. Yeah.
Outkast. Yeah. So definitely it's the South.
Man, I'm from Jersey, man. So I've been, I include y'all in the East Coast. I don't know why that is, but.
That might be considered blasphemous to some.
Let me take that back.
I'm just being real. But, you know. But see, I'm originally from Cleveland, so you know I'm Midwest at heart. But I mean, but I've been in Atlanta since 2005, so you know you can consider me a ATL-ian now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you definitely an ATL-ian. Okay. Last two questions, man. What's the one thing you wish you knew before you started on your own music, you know, creation journey?
I wish that I realized that it's okay to be you instead of trying to be somebody else. You know, when I first started, I was trying to mimic everybody else and not realizing that I have my own voice. When I realized that I had my own voice, that just took me to another level. And another thing was stop comparing yourself to other people, because everyone has a different journey. Everyone is an individual for a reason. That's why I say there's only one you. No one can be you but you. And the people that rock with you, that's who you worry about. You keep rocking with those people that rock with you because they like you for a reason, because you're you. So once I realized that, you know, it just made things for me a lot easier. But I wish I would have realized that way sooner. So.
That's a gem, internets. That is a gem. All right. Yo. Okay. Last question. Once again, everybody, we doing an interview right now with J. Phil, how to make very sickbeats.com. Go ahead, check it out, man. Check out the YouTube channel. Check out the Twitch. Support on Bandcamp. Support all of these different things, man. Because, you know, your support can only make it get bigger and better. And seen by so many more people as well. But last question, what should the internets look out for from J. Phil in 2023? You know, April was what, tomorrow? So 2023, how can the internets tap into you? You know, what you're doing, your music, your go ahead, plug your socials, projects, all of that stuff.
Okay, so very simple, Very Sick Beats. You can find me everywhere. Very Sick Beats, one word, all connected, no funny spelling. Very Sick Beats. New music, more YouTube content. Also more sample packs for those that, you know, for the producers out there. If you need sample packs, I am creating more. I have a ton already, but I will be making more. Also, ebooks. I'm working on converting a lot of my ebooks into paperback. I've already started that, but I'm going to do some more. So look out for that. And also, if you are interested in free piano lessons, I have that course as well. So yeah, just everything. You can find out everything that I do on my website, howtomakeverysickbeats.com.
Yo, absolutely, man. Sample packs go crazy. You know, you got Very Sick Guitar, Very Sick Drums, Filt Loops. Like, yeah. Yo, y'all can go crazy with these sample packs, man. So go ahead and support. You know, there's a lot of people that are using sample packs. I'm one of them ones as well. But I'm trying to wait for you to get the paperback for the pad. Oh man, what's it called? The pad.
The 12 pad one.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm gonna be working on. That the goal is to have that out this year. So yeah, that's definitely in the works.
Yes, yeah, man. I can't wait for that one, man. Because that's when I first started. Like when I got the ebook, and then I downloaded it. I started. I'm like, yo, this is so easy. Like, why? Who? I don't know why I didn't know this before. Nobody taught this before, but that was brilliant, man. Like that was amazing what you did with that, and just using the pads, create the chords and scale. You know, all that type of stuff. What they say is only 12 scales or 12 something for the piano or something like that.
Well, there's 12 keys, but there's you know, it's infinite possibilities within those 12 keys. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm. infinite,
man. Yo, Jay Phil, how to make very six beats.com. I want to say thank you for your time. Yo, I appreciate you. We appreciate you, man. A lot of people that when I sent out the promo for it, people was like, "Yo, I can't wait for this episode to come out." So a lot of people are gonna be tapping into this episode, man. And I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you. Yo, keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm supporting a lot of people that may not know who you are from this episode. They're going to know now. And then, well, they should slap themselves from not knowing who you are in the first place. But anyway, we ain't going to do that. Keep it positive. But
yes, sir.
But yeah, man, any final thoughts?
Hey, man, I'm just sending peace and positive energy to everybody. I thank y'all for tuning in, man. And y'all keep doing what you do. You got it.
Check, 1, 2. Yo, so I gotta send an appreciation and a thank you to Jay Filt for allowing me to spotlight him, man. That was an amazing interview, man. A bucket list interview. Yo, man, I love this job, man. I love this joint, man. So I hope y'all picked up some jewels, man. I hope y'all picked up some amazing stuff from this interview. And go ahead and share this, like this, leave a comment, rate this on wherever you know, listening to your podcast, man. Check the links in the description of the show. And yeah, man, thank you, Jay Filt, man. And I'm gonna see y'all very, very soon on another episode of the Rec Show Podcast. I'm your host, David Goldemine Hicks. Peace and love, y'all.
represent every living person on the planet. The white lights are humans. And these are the mutants.
They tell like younger kids or other producers like, that's cheating. You can't really be separate. But bro, like when it comes to this producing shit, you can do whatever you want.
You've been listening to the Rec Show podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Remember three things: believe in your music, take care of your mentals, become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
To be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
These young boys getting better. This is not like the NBA when you can retire. Like this is, you have to keep going.